starts with the esoteric and cosmic words of the prologue. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. But quickly turns to the simple and the commonplace. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. By the start of John's second chapter, we have moved from the timelessness of the Word to a wedding reception in an insignificant Galilean village where the wine runs out. There's a reason for this shift, of course, and it stems from the emphasis in John's Gospel on the Incarnation. In the prologue we read, "The Word was made flesh, he lived among us, and we saw his glory, the glory that is his as only Son of the Father." At the end of this wedding story, John says about Jesus, "Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples began to believe in him." The connection between the prologue and today's reading is glory. The book of Exodus tells us that the glory of God, of which the Israelites had a distant and terrifying glimpse at Mount Sinai, is now, because of the Incarnation, revealed and made accessible to us in Jesus Christ. Because of this, God's glory is displayed not with thunder and lightning, but at a wedding where the wine runs out. God has arrived to live with us in this extraordinary and relatable way. What's important in the Cana story isn't so much the miracle itself, Jesus changing the water into wine, but what the miracle as a sign reveals about God's presence. At a wedding like this, providing wine for the feast was the responsibility of the bridegroom. That's why at the end of the story, the steward asks the groom why, contrary to best practice, he hasn't served the best wine first, but kept it for the end. In asking this, the steward is apparently thinking of the groom as the supplier of the best wine. We know, however, that it comes from Jesus. By giving this much better wine abundantly, Jesus reveals himself as the true bridegroom of Israel. He fulfills the promise beautifully expressed by Isaiah in our first reading, where God speaks of his relationship with Israel as that of a groom to a bride. "You shall be called my delight and your land espoused, for the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse." What's happening here at this simple wedding at Cana is God's revelation of his presence among his people in a remarkably loving way. Our Catholic tradition has long seen in the Cana miracle a foundation for our understanding of marriage as a sacrament. We call it a sacrament because the commitment and love it celebrates functions for all of us as a sign revealing the presence and faithfulness of God. Cana is the first of two times that Mary is mentioned in John's Gospel. The second, significantly, shows her standing at the foot of Jesus' cross. But here at Cana, despite Jesus' initial resistance, she tells the servers to do whatever he tells you. At his mother's prompting, they act in faith and so become witnesses to the miracle of the transformation of ordinary water into the best wine. Miracles don't come before faith and give rise to it. Rather, those who act in faith are the ones who get to see and understand miracles as revelations of God's presence and glory among us. Our first reading ends with, "As a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you." As God rejoices and abides with us, so let us rejoice with God.